For all the Yankuvta Samaral, it's at times like this we have to inspire ourselves to push a little bit further, and we're going to see that the Torah is going to be so geschmack. It's going to uplift our whole day. So ready? Kuftes Amaral, 109a. We are at Rav Papa, Kabil Arelas Pasta. The entire rest of the Amud is stories, but not like, the kind of stories, not like super entertaining. So it's stories about people working in other people's land and asking for certain amounts of money based on that. But still, it's all stories. So you can handle a couple of stories. So says the Gemara, Rav Papa Kabil Arelas Pasta. Rav Papa worked on someone else's field in order to plant aspasta, in order to plant some stubble in the field, which is normally, fodder for animals. Kadchu batali. While he was there, trees sprouted in the field, not by any doing of his own, but some trees sprouted in the field. Kika Mestaldik, when Rav Papa was finished working in this guy's field, he was a choker, he was a farmer in somebody's field. So Amalui told the owner of the land, Havuli Shvacha, give me the Shevach. What's the Shevach? The improvement of the field, meaning the trees sprouted, and therefore Magiali, I deserve the increased value as a result of those trees. Amrle Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Rav Papa. Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi says to Rav Papa, how can you demand the trees that you didn't plant that happened to have grown in the field? Elameata, if that were true, Diklava Alim. Let's say there were trees already in the field, and then Alim. What does Alim with an Aleph mean? Alim.
Violent.
Called Alim Gavar? No, you're familiar? Not violent, not fighting. Strong. And let's say there were Dekel trees in the field and they got stronger. They got stronger while you were there through no doing of your own. They just happened to keep on growing, so they got stronger. Hachinami Dubai Mar Shvache. Would you ask for the Shevach of those trees as well? Would you say, oh, these Dekel trees when I started working in the field were worth $100, now they're worth $150. I'm owed $50? No way. That has nothing to do with you. You're here to plant this little stubble on the ground so that the guy could feed his animals. This has nothing to do with you. So Amalei Rav Papa defended himself. He says, no. Hasam lavadai tadachi nachis. When there are trees there that just happen to get stronger, that's not part of my job. Aval hacha adai tadachi nachisna. I was here to take, part of my terms of employment is that I get whatever grows in this field. Now the thought was that whatever would grow in this field would be what he had planted in this field. But it turns out that just things sprouted. So he says, okay, but I get that too. Meaning it's different than when you have an existing tree in the field that gets stronger. That's not part of my job. My job is to make things grow in the field and to take whatever grows in the field. So I should get the trees. So says Gemara, Kiman ka Abaye. Rav Papa seems to be assuming like Abaye. Who's Awa? What Abaye? So you remember we had yesterday in our 10 minutes of Bikis.
We're Rava defended Abaye.
Right, well, or Abaye defended Rav, actually. But what was Abaye Shita? That you have a Shikma tree that what? So Abaye was the one that said that B'Shevach HaShikma Yeshlo, exactly. Yeah. That when there's a Shikma tree and it expands, so you get the Shevach, you get the improvement of that tree. So that must be what Rav Papa was assuming, because he was claiming that he deserves some money. So says Marna, Afilu Tema Kerava. Yeah, Rav Papa might have even been assuming like Rava, that you don't get the Shevach of a Shikma tree, but he still thinks he deserves the trees that sprouted out of nowhere in the field. Why? Hasam lesle pseida. You see, in the case of the Shikma tree that improved over time, you didn't lose anything by that Shikma tree improving, so you have no claims to that. But over here, as the farmer, you lost. You lose money by these trees sprouting in the field. Why do you lose money? Hacha ika pseida. Over here, there's a loss of money. Because where these trees have sprouted, now you can't plant. And whatever you plant, you're going to get paid for. So now you can't, there are certain spots in the field where trees sprouted up, so you lose from that. So you're not able to plant there. So that's where Rav Papa felt entitled to claim the money. So the story's almost over. Amar Le, Rav Shisha says to Rav Papa, "My psaditich." I don't understand. What exactly was your loss by these trees growing? Yoda da aspasta. The amount of little stubble that you could have planted where these trees were. So good. Shekol yoda da aspasta vizil. That's what you should take. You shouldn't take the value of the trees that sprouted, because that's not what you were entitled to. That's not what you did. It has nothing to do with you. What's your whole claim to any money? Your whole claim is that I could have planted more shachas where those trees are. So you know what you're entitled to? The value of the lost shachas that you could have planted. So he says, no, Amalei, ana kurkuma rishka rabbi. I would have planted the most expensive rare vegetables on those spots of those trees, so I should be entitled to the full value of the trees, because I could have planted some exotic plants that are extremely valuable over there. So Amar Leih, Rav Shish said right back to him, Galisa daitach to the mishkal v'staluke avadit. Oh, well, when you plant vegetables, they only grow for that 1 year. You rip them out of the ground, and that's it. You take them home, and you're done. They don't regenerate, right? As opposed to a tree will stay there forever, and will keep on growing fruits. So he said, so you would have planted something there that would have just been a one-time crop, and that's it, and it would have been done. So shakal korkum arishka vizil. So good. So you take whatever you could have, the value of whatever would have grown there, and get out of here. But ein lechel demeitzim b'vad, which means you should only get the value of the wood of the trees that grew. You should not get the value of an actual live tree that's going to continue to produce. Meaning, what was his whole taina? What was Rav's whole taina? What was Rav Papa's whole taina? I would have planted these very expensive vegetables and taken them away and taken them with me. So says Rav Shisha. Okay, so let's pretend you planted these trees. You're saying that you're entitled to take them with you. If you cut down these trees, how much are they worth? Not nearly as much as they're worth when they're what? When they're trees, when they're still growing, when they're still in the ground. So you are entitled to the value of the wood if you would chop down these trees. And that's it. So that's the end of the story. So story number one, Rav Papa, first of all, it's interesting, Rav Papa had like a blue-collar job, right? He was working in someone else's field for a living. So Rav Papa, as a lot of the Amoraim and Tanaim had blue-collar jobs. First, that they had jobs is one, but also blue-collar jobs. You know, in the United States, not so many Orthodox Jews have blue-collar jobs. In Israel, a lot of Orthodox Jews do. In the United States, not so many Orthodox Jews have blue-collar jobs. So it's like you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be an accountant, and like you could work in finance, and that's it. Real estate, I mean, the nursing homes, there are like six. There are six jobs that you're allowed to do. And unless you really want to break your parents' hearts, then you could go into chinuch. But like, you know, it's six and a half, right? So there are no, and because I say a half, because if you go into chinuch, then you need to have a backup plan. It's like the only one that needs a backup plan. So yeah, you're only allowed to have six and a half jobs. There are no other. But in Israel, a Jew could be a garbage man, a Jew could be an Orthodox Jew, could be anything. So a policeman or whatever. Okay, so anyway, so Rav Papa was working in someone else's field. He, some trees grew there. He claimed that he's entitled to the value of those trees, and the Gemara says that he would have made that claim whether he yells like Abaye or whether he yells like Rava. Story number two, this one's a little bit shorter. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Kabbalara. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye also worked in someone's field, and the point was that he was going to be the farmer, he was going to be able to take, he was going to get paid for what grows there. Vahadrele Mishunisa. And there was in that field a large rock. Now, the thing about rocks is you can't plant on rocks. So it was like this giant rock that kadchu bezardasa, that somehow a certain type of plant that can grow on rocks sprouted up in these rocks. I'm not sure what a zarda is and why it can grow on rocks, but it's unique. Most plants cannot grow on rocks, right? So kikamasalik, when it came time for Abibi to leave the field, what do you think he wanted? He wanted the value of whatever grew on the rock. Amar lahu, havali shavchai. So let's remember the last story. Why did Rav Papa feel entitled to the value of the trees that just sprouted on their own? Because what could he have done? Could have planted something else over there. Over here, a little different. It's a rock. What are you going to do? So Amar Rav Papi said to Rav Bibi, Mishum da'asisu mimu la'im. Because you are a descendant of the family of Eli HaKohen, which is a diseased family. It's a family that cannot survive. Why?
Because they took an extra...
There was a curse on the family of Eli. Which famous Amoraim came from the family of Eli?
The whole town.
Abaye, right? Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Abaye was from the family of Eli. And Rav, what? Right, so they all died young because they were all from the family of Eli. So is there any way that someone from the family of Eli could live a little longer?
If they get like a neder maybe to uproot this curse.
Torah and chesed, right? Those are the two things, I think. Torah, that no sort of karbanos, the pasuk says, is going to help. But Torah, So that's Torah and Chesed. So if they could live a little bit longer. But anyway, so he tells Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, because you come from the family of Eli, Amrisu Mili Mulyusa. You're saying things that are diseased. You're saying things that have problems with them. You're making a claim that you deserve these trees that sprouted, these plants that sprouted on the rocks. Afilu Rav Papa Lo Amar Ela Disle Pseida. Even Rav Papa, who tried to get that extra money, only was claimed to be entitled to it because he could have planted something else in the place where those trees grew. Hacha might say this over here. What are you losing out? You're not losing anything, so therefore you're not entitled to anything. So that is story number two. Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye wanted the value of the stuff that grew on rocks, and Rav Papi had to tell him you are wrong. Rav Papi had to tell him you are wrong. You are not entitled to that. Okay, now the Gemara tells us story number three. Rav Yosef Havalu Ahu Shetala. Rav Yosef had a guy that would plant his vineyards. He'd work as a sharecropper, right? And this was a lifetime contract. The guy was supposed to work for him for his whole life. And every year he'd plant the vineyards, he'd get a certain percentage and give the owner a certain percentage. That's the way it works. Who was the owner? The owner was Rav Yosef. Good. So Rav Yosef was a real estate guy. He fit one of the six professions. He was he owned the real estate. But he had a guy who worked for him, a Jewish guy. So Shachiv Vishavach Hamisha Chasan Vasa. The guy died and he had five sons-in-law. Apparently he had no sons, or his sons went into one of the other five professions. He had five sons-in-law that all wanted to become the sharecroppers of this field. So Ammar, Rav Yosef said, oh, I'm not happy about this. He said, Ada idnachad. Up until now I had one guy working in my vineyards. Hashta chamisha. Now it's going to be five guys. You would think, what a boon. That's fantastic. You get five workers now. No, he's not happy about this. Why is he not happy about this? What? Why aren't you getting as much? Who get? They have to what? Yeah, but they'll just get a share of it. Meaning, if the shver got 40% of what grows in the entire field, so these five will have to split the 40% of what grows in the field. So he said, here's why I'm not happy about it. Up until this point, there was one guy. So that guy knew that he couldn't rely on anybody else. He knew that the buck stops with him, that he's got to do all the work. So he's going to work hard because it's all on him. It's on his shoulders. And therefore, my field will be maximized. Hashta chamisha samchu ahadadi umafsiduli. Now there are five guys. So five guys are each going to rely on the other guy doing it. Oh, I'm tired today. Oh, but there's someone else there that could work. Well, you know, one of my brothers-in-law will take care of it. And ultimately, the field is going to suffer for it. So he was not happy about this arrangement. So Amalus Rav Yosef told them, Ishaklisu shvachaychu umistalkisu mutav. If you want to take whatever has already grown in the field up until this point, right, the percentage that your father-in-law was entitled to of what has already grown, and then you leave and I never see you again for the rest of your life, meaning then you don't work for me anymore, that's good, that's fine. I'm okay with that. We'll sever the ties between our two families. We'll say tzeischem l'shalom, and you could take whatever is in the field right now, or a percentage of whatever's in the field right now. But v'ilo, if you are not happy with that arrangement, then misalikna l'chu b'lo shvacha. I will fire you and you will not get to take anything from the field right now. Meaning, either way, you're not working for me anymore. Your two options are, you can peacefully take a percentage of what's in the field already, or we're gonna have an all-out brawl and you're gonna get nothing. And you're just never gonna work anymore. Dam Rav Yehuda v'itema Rav Huna v'itema Rav Nachman. Someone said, either Rav Yehuda or Rav Huna or Rav Nachman, Hai shetala d'shachiv. If a guy who works as a vineyard planter, right, the guy who works in your vineyard dies, yorshim delay mistalkin l'blo shvacha. You can actually fire his yorshim, meaning have his yorshim not work for you, and you don't have to give them anything. You don't have to give them anything of what the father had grown in that field. Meaning, you would think that the yarshin, whatever the father had grown. No, you don't have to give them anything. But says Gemara, v'lav milsihi. That's actually not correct, la halacha. The yarshim do get to take what the father, or father-in-law in this case, had already grown in that field. So that is story number, what are we up to? Number three? So, yeah?
Yarshim refers to
son.
So Yarshim, whoever Yarshim, if he didn't have any sons, then it's the sons-in-law. So story number three was Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef's what? His his sharecropper, right, died, so he told, he didn't, he was not happy about multiple Yorshim taking over, so he told them they should be happy to take whatever's already there, or else he's going to not give them anything, which he felt entitled to do. Was he actually entitled to not give them anything? Gemara said, no, that's not correct, la halacha. Story number four. Hahui Shatala. There was another sharecropper. Da Amrlu, now we don't have a name, right? There was a sharecropper. Da Amrlu, who told the owner of the field, Imafsidna Misalakna. If I cause any loss to the peros that, you know, you expect to come, you're expecting a certain amount of value to grow in the field this year. If because of me you don't get that value, right, it doesn't live up to previous year's output, let's say in previous years you had a certain standard that this field has produced, and now you just hired me and I'm trying to tell you how great I am. On my resume it shows how much I'm able to produce in different fields. So if you don't get the desired output from me, then afsid, then I will pay for that, meaning I will lose out on that for my portion. You know, normally, I'm entitled to, let's say, 40% of the output of this field as the sharecropper, right? 40%. But you're expecting it to be 40% of $100,000. Let's say it's only $80,000. I'm still going to make sure you get 60. I'll take the hit on whatever gets lost, right? You were expecting to get 60 and I would get 40, but I produced $20,000 less, you'll get 60, I'll get 20, right? Meaning I'll take the hit on that. But here's what happened. Om Rav Yehuda, mistalik below shvacha. Rav Yehuda says, yeah, so then he can, that could happen. The owner could say, you're out of here and you're not getting any, if it didn't produce enough to get you paid, you're not going to get paid. Rav Kahana Amar Mistalik V'Shakil Shvacha, that he can get rid of him, but he takes whatever shevach is left in the karka, because what he really meant is that you can fire me, but not that I'm actually going to take the hit. He really meant that I won't work for you anymore, but he still gets to take the shevach of the field. So maybe I said it a little wrong. The guy said that I will work in the field. If it doesn't produce the output that you want, then you can get rid of me. So what does he mean, you get rid of me? You get rid of me and I won't take anything? Or, no, I'm still going to get my portion for this year, but then, don't worry, you can terminate my employment right after this year. That's the whole machlokas. Moda Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana admits, di'i amar, ipasidna mestalakna beloshvacha, that if he was explicit, he said, you could fire me and I won't get anything, then mestalak beloshvacha, then really he doesn't get anything, because that's what he's... Is there any chiddush in that? So you think, of course. I mean, if I tell you that if it doesn't produce up to your expectations, you can fire me, I'll get zero. So, and it doesn't produce up to your expectations, what can you do? You can fire me and I'll get zero, right? Isn't that the deal, right? Those are the words that he said. So is there any chiddush in saying that the words that he said are actually binding? Says Gemara, yeah, it's a great chiddush. Rava Amar, asmachta hi va asmachta lo kanya. What does that mean? What does it mean, asmachta?
Not in the sense of like a pasuk derived.
Good. Not in the sense of a pasuk that's a din derabanan. What kind of asmachta are we talking about? The asmachta that comes up in what famous sugya? Come on. What famous sugya lahalacha that becomes very relevant in March? And whenever you play fantasy football? Gambling. Right? In the gambling sugya, why is it that gambling, according to at least one major opinion in the Gemara, why is it that gambling is so problematic? Makes you pasul eidos, according to the Mishnah Sanhedrin? Right? Why is it that gambling is so problematic? Because the guy who lost the bet was not really happy about giving you the money. What?
He begrudgingly gives you the money.
Right, he begrudgingly gives you the money because he thought that his team was going to win. He thought he was going to win. He wasn't expecting to lose, so when he made the commitment, it wasn't a genuine commitment. What does that have to do with us over here?
Here also,
the guy who what?
Who said that he didn't have anything.
Oh, the guy who said, if this field doesn't produce up to expectation, I'll walk away with nothing. Why did he say that? Because he thought the field wasn't going to produce up to expectation? No, because he thought the field would produce. He wasn't really committing to walk away with nothing from a whole year's work. This is asmachta, says the Gemara.
Well, that's a little different, though. You could have said that like sarcastically.
So whenever it seems unrealistic that the guy doesn't expect that eventuality, that's what we call asmachta.
Yeah, right? Bet's different. Like, each of them know there's a real possibility they'll lose. It's a sport.
Good, and it's also possible the field won't produce up to.
Bets usually aren't set as a joke, or as a sarcastic statement.
Okay, so you have to learn through the gambling sugya. In general, the psychology of gambling is that people do believe they're going to win. Even though they know intellectually that there's a good chance that they won't, but they believe there's something irrational about it that they believe. They've done studies about this where they've interviewed people at the horse track. So right before they place their bets and right after they place their bets. What do you think the chances are this horse is going to win? Same horse, nothing has changed other than the fact that I put money down in between. My confidence level in him winning after I put money down on it goes way up. But nothing happened. The horse didn't get stronger or faster. The other horses didn't die or break their legs, right? But why, all of a sudden, my confidence goes up. That's hasmachta. Meaning the idea is that when you guarantee it, you start to actually believe it. Okay, says Gemara, Ula Rava, according to Rava, that it's all hasmachta. Maishna mehadetnan. Why is this any different than the Mishnah we had back 5 dapim ago, that if a person is supposed to plant a field and split the profits, and then he leaves it totally empty. He doesn't plant it, he doesn't plow it, he does nothing. So we have to figure out how much the field should have produced, and that's what he has to pay the owner of the field. Im ovir velo avid ashalim b'mitzvah. And the Mishnah said, if I leave this field empty, and I do nothing with this field, I will pay you what the field, the best possible scenario of what the field could have produced, right? And we don't assume that's a smachta. We assume he's actually obligated to do that, right? Why would you say something like that? You say something like that because you're actually planning on working the field. So you tell the guy, oh, if I don't work this field, I'll give you whatever. Because you plan on actually working the field. So isn't that a smachta also? Says Gemara Hasam, my da'afsid mshalim. In the Mishnah, he didn't make himself chayiv to pay any more than he really should have paid, which is what the field could have produced, which is his responsibility. Over here, whatever the balabais lost out, we subtract from the shevach of the field, and the rest of the shevach he gives to him. So over here, what was the case over here? What was the case that we were dealing with? If the field doesn't produce up to expectations, I'll take nothing. So that's, you know, it's one thing to say I'll take a little less, but say I'll take nothing, that doesn't even make sense. Why would you take nothing? Story number, what story are we up to?
I think
5. Runya, Shatala de Ravina Hava. Runya worked the fields of Ravina. He was Ravina's sharecropper. Afsid. Runya did not help the field at all. Ravina's vineyards were not producing up to expectation. Salke. So what did Ravina do? He fired Runya. Okay? Because that's reasonable. The guy doesn't do a good job, you fire him. Asal kame de Rava. So Runya was all upset. He came to Rava. How could he fire me? So Amalei, Chazimar, my covetly. So he told Rava, he went to tell on the Rebbe, right? He told Rava, look what Ravina did to me. He fired me. And that's not fair. Amalei, so Rava said to Runya, Shapir Avid, you deserve to be fired. He did a good thing by firing you. Amalei, hello Hisrabi. But he never warned me that if I don't produce, that he's going to fire me. Amalei, Lot Shri Chalahasos. He doesn't need to warn you before he fires you. Why do you think he's hiring you to work in his field? Do you think he's hiring you because you have a nice smile? He hires you so that you can produce, that you can actually make the field grow stuff. And if you're not doing that, he's going to fire you. Rava l'taimei, and this is Rava l'shitaso. Da'ama Rava. Rava holds, in certain professions, you don't need any warning. You just fire the guy. And they are Mikri Dardiki. What's a Mikri Dardiki? A teacher of students, a teacher of young students. How do you know that? Where do you know that from? You must have that from somewhere, right? What? Ksuvus? Okay. Where in Ksuvus? Remember?
From Losh Chacham.
Okay. So Mikri Dardiki, you have a teacher of young students, like a Rebbe, right? Shatala, someone who plants vineyards. Tabcha, a butcher, right? A shochet. V'umna, umna is a machlok, what it means, but pashpshat, it means a moel. V'sapar masa, machlokas whether it's a barber or a sofer, probably means a sofer, right? Kulan kimusun va'omdin dami. They're all considered to be forewarned. If you don't do a good job, you're going to get fired. You will not be able to keep your job. Klala demilsa, the basic rule is, kol pseida delohadar. Any loss that you cannot fix once it's done, kimusun va'omdin dami. You are considered to be forewarned. Are all these things things that you cannot fix once it's done? So a moel, okay, you would imagine, right?
Well, about sofer, you fix right now.
Sofer.
That's fixing. I mean,
yeah, right, it might be a barber.
You mess up the haircut, you can't fix it. You mess up the sofa, you make a new mess.
That's a good question. Why can't the sofa make a new one and fix it?
Probably a barber, then.
As a barber,
can fix it.
I was in the barber shop today. It was so sad. I got a haircut. Thanks for the compliment. It was so sad. It was the saddest visit to the barber I've ever had in my entire life. Normally they're not so sad. Other than when my oldest son was very little and he was afraid of the barber because he was afraid of everything and he screamed all the time. But other than that, it was the same. He still screams, not about the barber. But other than that, the record is long. A woman comes into the barber shop and with a picture of her dead husband, and she says, "My husband went here for many years. I don't know who I'm looking for. I'm looking for his barber, you know." And she showed the picture around. They're like, "Oh yeah, we recognize it." Like they were clearly lying. They didn't recognize him. They're like, "Yeah, we recognize him. Oh, his regular barber's not here today."
He's on vacation in Italy.
So that was one thing. And then a guy comes in. He says, "Shave my head." And they said, "Really? Normally we give you a regular haircut." And he says, "My wife has cancer and she's going to lose all of her hair, so I want to shave my head." Oh my God! Wow, I was like, I just want a haircut. This was like the saddest barber visit ever. Like I needed to go to Dunkin' Donuts and like eat a dozen donuts just not to be depressed, you know? Like, barbershop's next to Dunkin' Donuts. That's the okay. I realize I'm the only one besides this show that probably knew that. Okay, So these are things that can't be fixed. Wait, teaching young kids, if you mess up a little bit and you teach them the wrong thing, it can't be fixed? So that's actually a machlokas in the Gemara.
Even if you teach them, but if you give like the words of Musar that are like harmful to them and you don't even realize.
That's true. The Gemara is machlokas in Baba Basra. If you have a Rebbe that covers a lot of ground, but he doesn't make sure the kids really understand it, right? So is that better than a Rebbe that doesn't cover much ground, but he just covers like, you know, those four lines of Gemara that you're going to learn in 11th grade, you know, you're going to really understand them well. So which is better? So the Gemara says that it's machlokas. Some say, you know what, if there are some mistakes along the way, and he didn't teach you that well along the way, but you covered a lot. So whatever mistakes, whatever misimpressions you got will be fixed over time. You have a whole life of learning ahead of you. You'll figure it out. Whereas others say, no, that shabeshta, when there's a mistake, kivan da'ol, if you get a misimpression, not just stam, it was too fast for you, but you were misinformed, you didn't understand properly, and you understood it in a corrupt way, kivan da'ol, it's never going to go away, and that misimpression like will start, it could come in second grade and the rest of your life you're going to believe something wrong. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. But if you assume the shabeshta kivan da'ol, that a mistake that's there is going to stay there, so then certainly it would be a pseida delohada, it's something that can't. But the Gemara also says that you're allowed to fire Rebbeim if there's other Rebbeim who are better, who you think will do a better job, because it's a very hard priority to make sure that the kids will be able to learn well. So that's considered musrin va'omdin dami, that a person is forewarned. I believe we only have 3 days left this semester, so the goal is going to be on Monday Kuf Tes Amud Beis, on Tuesday Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, and on Wednesday we get to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We're going to try to get to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, and that we'll have done about 15-16 blot this semester, which is not enough. Next semester, hopefully Maseches Megillah, we'll be able to do a lot more.
Listen to this message from Rabbi Kahn.